If I asked around the congregation here tonight why you are here, I might get a variety of answers, or I might get roughly the same answer but expressed in different ways. I hope the one answer you would not give me is, you've come to listen to me. If you did, I say, what a sorry lot you are. I hope you would say you have come to worship God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask that question, but I am going to put another question for us to think about this evening, including myself. It's a very old question which has been asked of God's people well back from Old Testament times, from the book of Deuteronomy and also from Micah. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. What does the Lord require of us, you and me? What does the Lord require of us, you and me? I could quote the next verse from Micah where he answers that. And if any of you have read Thought for the Week in the local Haverhill Echo this week, Father Michael Teeder quotes that verse also. So if you haven't read it, get your Echo out and read it, because Michael's Thought for the Week is well worth looking at, as always. Yes, what does the Lord require of us? I want us to consider three things this evening that the Lord requires of us, his followers, and you will see why I chose those readings from the Gospels. First of all, the Lord requires our thanks. Secondly, the Lord requires our loyalty. And thirdly, the Lord requires our repentance, our confession. First of all, the Lord requires our thanks. How good it is to be thanked. Very satisfying. The thanks may be for a spontaneous act of kindness that we have just done. You're driving your car and you see there's an oncoming vehicle, so you pull in and let him through, and they put their hand up. And that's good, isn't it? You've received thanks for that little act of courtesy that you did in your car. It's always good to be thanked. I don't know whether you remember, just a few weeks ago, there was a lorry driver who saw an elderly lady beside the road with her shopping trolley, and as he came towards her, he could see that she was having difficulty crossing the road. So what did he do? He stopped his huge, great lorry in the middle of the road, got out of his cab, went across to the lady, and saw her across the road, and she thanked him. She thanked him. Thanks we receive may be for a gift which we have made. Especially rewarding when we get a card from grandchildren. Thank you, Grandad and Grandma, for whatever we did for them or gave to them. And we watch as the years go by how their handwriting improves every time we get a card from them. Or it may be for work or an act which we have provided, which we have worked on and prepared for a while. I know there are many elderly folk who provide knitted items for the Rosie Maternity at Addenbrookes and other places. And when they receive their thanks, it means so much to them. They don't feel perhaps at their age they can do much, but they can still knit, a lot of them. And to receive thanks in their own home for something which they've worked on for weeks maybe is very gratifying. Or maybe it's just being there at the end of a phone, being us. But whatever, thanks is always good to receive, isn't it? We feel appreciated, our efforts rewarded. I often treasure and retain cards which express thank you for the service which I have rendered. The last card I received was Father's Day card from our son Russ and from Heather, thanking me for being dad. In that message from Russell was a message from our granddaughter 14-year-old granddaughter, and it was a message that I couldn't read or understand, for it was written in Russian, if you ever did. She's learning Russian at school, and she thought, Granddad will like this. And she wrote it a thank you in Russian. And this coming Saturday, she with a group from her school are off on a short trip to Russia. So imagine how Jesus felt in our reading when only one of the 10 lepers who were healed came back to thank him. Just one of 10 came back to thank him. As they went, as he suggested, to the priest, they realized that their leprosy had disappeared. They were made well. They were cleansed. Look what he had given them. Not just healing from leprosy, but new life. Being a leper would deprive them of social contact with family, neighborhood, deprive them of work and earning a living, deprive them of coming to worship in the temple. They were outcasts in many aspects of normal society. And then Jesus healed them. Surely each one of them would be so grateful and want to come back personally to Jesus to thank him. Jesus was hurt. Where are the other 9? Weren't all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Have you felt like that sometimes? Yes, I have. And it can leave a bitter taste, at least for a while. That, I believe, is a natural reaction and quite understandable. So imagine how Jesus felt after the life-changing gift he had given to all 10. But only one came back to say thank you. And he was a foreigner, a Samaritan. That raises the question for us this evening. How thankful are we to God? We are so ready and eager to ask him or even beg for his help at times, even skeptical at times when our prayers appeared not to be answered when and how we expected. Yet how ready are we to say thank you? What does the Lord require of you and me on a daily basis? He requires our thanks, our thanks. May I make the suggestion also that God looks for our loyalty as his followers. In our earlier Bible reading, we read how Peter, despite his bold proclamation that he would never stumble, would fail in what he thought was his strong area: courage, boldness, and loyalty to Jesus. Through his solemn warning, Jesus gave Peter an opportunity to take heed and consider his weakness. Surely it was an opportunity Peter did not take. He spoke more strongly. Jesus knew Peter far better than Peter did. It is noticed all the disciples followed Peter and said the same thing. Like Peter, we may make a bold statement of faith by coming regularly to church to show our loyalty, or like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, consider our so-called good living compared to other people. Around the world today, followers of Jesus are being persecuted because of their loyalty to him. Persecuted by family members, neighbors, and general society. And we heard some of that on Songs of Praise earlier today. Christians who have been persecuted and are being persecuted, let us never forget them in our prayers. We may think we have it hard at times. We know nothing. Nothing compared to Christians in other parts of the world who are persecuted because of their loyalty to Jesus. And we read that Peter broke down and wept because of his denial of our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, whoever thinks he is standing firm had better be careful that he does not fall. Paul knew the problem, for he writes in Romans 19:7, the good I long to do, you know, I do not. And the evil I don't want to do, that I do. Do you ever get to the end of the day and think to yourself, well, I made a bit of a mess of that today, didn't I, as a Christian? Well, I do. It may be an unkind word, or taking over a conversation and not lending a listening ear, trying to upstage someone else, or making a promise that we could not keep, passing on gossip which could be hurtful, boasting or bragging of our achievement or success, especially in the face of another's failure, not acknowledging that I was in the wrong, or missing a prayer time, going the opposite route to what I said I would to someone else. The good I long to do, I do not, and the evil I don't want to do, I do. Our eldest grandson, George, will shortly be taking his cycling proficiency test. He recently asked his mum whether she took one at school, and she said, yes, she took one at Burton End County Primary, just up the road. And how did you get on, mum? Well, I failed. You failed, mum, on a cycling proficiency test? So George and brother Harry, his younger brother, wanted to know why Heather had failed her cycling proficiency test. She admitted that she put her arm out to turn right and she turned left. To which the boys were in fits of laughter. The good I long to do, I do not. I don't think Heather wept over her mistake like Peter, but we cannot on our own undo what has been done. In other words, she was showing where she was going to go, what she was going to do, and yet she did something else completely different. She denied her loyalty to the signal that she made. What a wretched man Paul says he was. In Romans chapter 7, what a wretched man I am. Who can rescue me from this body of death? And then he goes on, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a way. And so we come to our third requirement that the Lord needs of us. Our thanks, our loyalty, and our repentance, our confession of failure and of our sin. As in the publican in Jesus' parable who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thankfully for Peter and for each one of us, Jesus came to die for our sins. We sung it in our first hymn. Jesus came to die that we might know his forgiveness. He came to dealt with our weakness by taking our sin upon himself on the cross. In him we can know forgiveness and new life, even though we make a mess at times of our daily living. Psalm 27 and verse 11 says, teach me, O Lord, what you want me to do. Our thanks, our loyalty, and our confession when we get it wrong. Amen.